Our sermon text today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Originally, I had planned to go through the next three verses of chapter 8, but that just kind of goes in a different direction. We'll stop at verse 50 today. Luke, chapter 7, starting in verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. So Jesus responded, "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, about 500 days' wages, maybe 20 months' worth of salary. And the other owed 50 denarii, about 2 months' salary. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this word and how rich of a story this is. Help us in our feebleness to lean into your forgiveness and to bring our full selves before you and to learn from you in this hour. Bless us as we reflect together on this passage, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Which would you rather be? Simon the Pharisee or this unnamed woman? If you had to pick one person's shoes to fill in this story, which would you rather be? On the one hand, we have Simon the Pharisee. He is a good religious person. He showed up to church on Sunday. He invited Jesus to a dinner party. He gets to have an audience with the Savior himself. He enjoys privilege in society. He has friends. He is well connected. He is well thought of. He is well-to-do. And on the other hand, we have a woman who is unnamed. We don't know anything else about her except her reputation. She has lived a sinful life, Luke says. That's first century code language. She was probably a prostitute, selling herself and her sexuality for money. She is not rich, despite the jar of perfume that she has. She is not well liked in society. She is not well connected or well thought of, and she certainly does not belong at this dinner party. Which would you rather be? How you choose to answer that question says a lot about how you view Christianity. There's a right answer to this question, right? We obviously want to be like the woman because she is liked by Jesus and everything. She's the hero and the heroine in the story, and Simon has something to learn. So clearly, Pastor David, we want to be like the prostitute. But there's a problem in that. You want to be like the prostitute? You want to be like someone who is on the outside of society? She's a sinner. She's far from the ideal person. She does not have power or privilege or wealth in society. She doesn't have connections with people, and what little wealth she has, she pours out at the feet of Jesus. We want to be like her? Sometimes we would rather be like Simon the Pharisee. And maybe more often than we would choose to admit. Simon is a good religious person. He gets to entertain Jesus. He has everything all together. And sure, his hospitality skills could use some improvement. But who among us is perfect anyway? At least he's on the right path. He's a decent human being. At least he's not like this woman. That's, I think, how a lot of people choose to operate today. In our world at large, in our society at large, and in Christian circles, we choose to operate more like Simon than we do like the woman. We choose to look at ourselves as basically decent people who perform well and live decent lives, and at least we're not like somebody else. We, even in the world of Christianity, even within, perhaps even within our congregation, within our own lives, we turn faith into a legalistic system in which we become morally better than other people around us by following certain rules. Our society teaches us to look down on other people who don't live up to our standards. We say to ourselves, I may have my faults, but at least I'm not like blank. And you can fill in the blank. In fact, you do fill in the blank. We all fill in the blank somehow. At least I'm not like so-and-so. What's astounding about this passage, though, is how it shows that moral purity is not the way to salvation. Jesus does not seem concerned in this story about the woman's sexual history. In other passages of Scripture, Jesus does tell people to turn away from sin and to be sexually pure, and here he does forgive the woman's sin, yes. But what impresses Jesus more in this story is the love that the woman shows toward Jesus. She is on to something. Simon may be a good religious Pharisee, but this woman has a real relationship with Jesus. She has a relationship that is rooted in love and sacrifice and humility and service. This woman extends hospitality toward Jesus. The hospitality that Simon, as the host of the dinner party, apparently didn't show either to Jesus or to this woman. Christianity is all about salvation. Salvation is all about relationship. Relationship is all about hospitality. Jesus offers us hospitality by opening his arms to us to forgive us, to accept us, and to give us new life. And we open our hearts and our arms. We offer hospitality to Jesus to bring him into our lives, to accept him and to follow him. any form of Christianity which requires people to follow a list of moral rules in order to assure their salvation is missing the mark. Christianity that forces people to behave according to certain guidelines is not really Christianity, it's just those moral guidelines. Christian faith is more about relationship with Christ. The center of our faith is not how good we behave. The center of our faith is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, our King, forgives us. He eliminates the debt which we could never repay to him. Each of us has sinned. Each of us has been separated from God because of our sin. Each of us needs to experience the forgiveness of Jesus. Whether it's worth 50 days' wages or 500 or 5 million days' wages. And each of us then needs to respond to Jesus out of love and gratitude and thanksgiving. There's a song in the world of Christian music that goes, "They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." The song doesn't go, "They will know we are Christians by our moral purity and how well we behave and how much better we are than other people." This is not how the song goes. "They will know we are Christians by our love." People who follow Jesus are called to practice great hospitality, welcoming Jesus into our lives and welcoming others, even those whom we might otherwise look down upon, into our lives as well. One of the big unanswered questions in this story is what Simon does next. What happens next in Simon's life with regard to this unnamed, apparently immoral woman? She's an uninvited dinner guest at his party. He may know her personally, or he may just know her by reputation, but what happens the next time that he sees her? Or what happens the next time he sees someone in a similar situation to her? Does he say to himself, even within his own mind, "Look at what kind of woman that is"? Or does he remember this encounter with Jesus and the example of Jesus and look at the woman as being one who is more than the sum of her actions? The woman is set free from the guilt of her sins. Jesus assures her that her faith has saved her, and he tells her to go in peace. Will that peace include people like Simon? We usually think of peace as an internal thing, but it's a relational thing. Will this woman's peace include Simon? Will she be restored to a healthy place in society? Will a community of faith draw her in and show her the hospitality of Jesus? Or will they set moral conditions for her membership? Lawrence and Joe, in a few moments, we will commission you as missionaries to Guatemala. We will do this as a congregation in agreement with the call of God on your lives. But as you prepare for that move to Guatemala, which will take place in just a couple of weeks, let me challenge you in this way. Being a missionary is not about power. Being a missionary is not about moral superiority. It's not about having the right answer to life and going to a dark place in order to clue people in. It's not about taking a superior white American civilization to the impoverished inner city of Guatemala City. Serving as a missionary is all about living out your relationship with Jesus in the place where he has called you to live. So extend hospitality and love toward Jesus as your first and primary task. and then share Jesus' love and hospitality with the people of the tracks as well. And while our attention is going to be focused on Lawrence and Joe here in just a moment, I'll remind us all that we are all missionaries where we live. Because the relationship we have with Jesus is not just an internal one that makes us feel good about ourselves. We who follow Jesus are all on mission for him as well. We are called to be missionaries for the Lord's sake where we live, living out our relationship with Jesus where he has called us to live. And if that's Guatemala, great, and we'll pray for you. If it's Midland County, great, and we'll pray for you too. Make room in your life for relationship with Jesus and for relationship with those who are seeking wholeness in their lives, even if they are people that you would think, oh, what kind of person is that? Jesus loves, Jesus forgives, and Jesus calls us to help in bringing about new life. Your homework for the week, your action step, is just that, to make room for Jesus in your life and in your world, and maybe more tangibly, be careful as you go about your daily business, as you go about meeting people and speaking with people and doing your shopping and all the things that you do in your everyday life, be careful about how you view other people. When you rub shoulders with someone, watch for that inner impulse that says, ah, that's a morally impure person. That is such a worldly person, or that is such a sinner. I'm using the word that and not even realizing it, instead of this person. I'm objectifying the person just hypothetically, thinking about how we might engage with people. Doesn't that say something? Oh my. Do we view people as morally inferior to us, as sinners, or do we view them as people whom Jesus loves and forgives and who may very well love or learn to love Jesus too? It's a big task to think about how we go about interacting with other people. It was a big lesson for Simon the Pharisee, and I think it's a big lesson for us too. The world could stand to have a few more people like this unnamed woman, and more people to learn like Simon the Pharisee learned that day. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord our God, we give you thanks for forgiving that woman so many years ago. Help us, Lord, to know your forgiveness and to lean into your forgiveness every day. And Lord, as we now turn our attention toward commissioning Lawrence and Joe Adams for the mission field, we pray, Lord, that you would be present, continue to be present in this moment, and that you would confirm in them and in us the call that you have given to go and serve and to make disciples for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.